spirit, seeing. The term spirit includes other terms to describe it, which Mary Baker Eddy uses in the textbook, and one of them is appear. Another one is ability. Another one is blesses. Christianity. Spirit is flawless. Purity is one of the key words describing spirit. Its purity enables the truth to appear. The ability to be able to see is a result of letting one's consciousness to open up to the perfection that is all around. In working with a vision improvement, healing, seeing the perfection in vision, Mary Baker Eddy addresses diversions, and she says, can you focus no matter what comes your way? Genesis 1 indicates a sequence in the spiritual development of the revelation of reality. The first step is that we need to let our consciousness be open and be ready to accept the truth. At the beginning of Science and Health, there are three introductory quotes. The first one says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second one says, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third one is, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. The first one are the words of Jesus about truth. The second one about nothing either good or bad is from Shakespeare. And the third one about thou hast heard my prayers from Mary Baker Eddy. Our prayer is always heard if we are in alignment with the terms, the qualities, the terms that define the qualities of God. If we're acting intelligently in everything we think, say, and do, then we're following mind. If we're pure, then our ability increases in proportion to our purity. We are blessed. As indicated, that's one of the terms for spirit. And the truth will appear if we are pure in our thought, and if we have opened our consciousness to the truth. It's like the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Or when the teacher is ready, the student appears. There's a balance. A student requires a teacher requires a student. So if you appear to only have one, then you have some balancing to do. You need to look to what is God, what is man, and realize that the relationship is that man is the image and likeness of God. God cannot be a God without God's image and likeness, and the image and likeness cannot exist without a source, which is God. All the way up the scale, there is a counter to every truth, and there's a counter to every evil. Mary Baker Eddy stopped a dozen times a day, in fact, she said hourly, to make sure that she was only seeing perfection. One of her top students was Dr. Fluno, and he was one of her first lecturers that traveled around the U.S. And one of the topics he really specialized in was criticism. And a couple of the key points are that he said that criticism leads to all evil. In other words, if you want to have a guaranteed way to have a life of evil, all you have to do is focus on the faults of someone else. We're perfect, so we don't have to be concerned about ourselves. So all we do is monitor everyone else and find every fault we can find. This was around 1880, or maybe even before that. Maybe 70, 75. Horse and buggy, riding saddlebacks. There were a few places trains were operating. And his focus in a lot of those lectures that he gave were about criticism. Mary Baker Eddy said that when she kept her thought lined up with only goodness about everyone and everything, and she had a lot of people attacking her all the time. She was just like Jesus. She was persecuted up one side and down the other. Back in those days, a woman could not own property, could not vote. And here she was sending people around, or she was promoting it, to be pure in your thinking and don't criticize anyone. As you know, they didn't count women and children when Jesus was preaching on the hillside to thousands of people. They counted 4,000 in one and 5,000 in another. And I would presume most families had at least two or three, maybe four children. So that means there'd be five times. Something else Mary Baker Eddy said, and she wrote it in a letter called The Secret. She said that when she was able to focus on only the perfection around her, no matter who was attacking her, what event was a problem, she helped solve wars. But when she was in that frame of thought, she could heal anything instantaneously. Everything works together. There is not a single thing in all existence that is independent or unconnected. Up in Northwest California, the redwood sequoia trees are deemed to be among the oldest and largest, tallest, if not the oldest and tallest. And they have a very shallow root system, which would surprise one if you build a skyscraper building. You have to start the foundation many floors below the surface. So here, a God-created grove of beautiful, tallest and oldest trees. They're over 2,000 years old. He gave them a shallow root system. But what else did he give them? The bonding together of the roots from other trees. The unity and strength that comes from unified action is impenetrable. One of the most important mottos of evil is divide and conquer. They cannot conquer when there's strength and unity. They can only conquer if there is the absence of strength and unity. In fact, unity is what provides the strength. If one wants to be successful in any kind of activity, unity is mandatory. Even if you are working alone in isolation, you have to be unified. For example, number one, with the principles of the project. If you're a designer or an architect of a building, for example, you have to know what the principle is of being an architect, of building a building. You need to know all the ins and outs of every little detail. And if you don't, then you're not unified. If you want the structure to be of long duration, then you need to be unified with divine principle. Because divine principle is the structure and system of everything in the system of divine metaphysics. You need to utilize the intelligence of mind, the wisdom and the knowing in every decision you make about your architectural project. You need to have purity in the building materials you use. You can't use flawed materials. The U.S. steel industry has had a very difficult time because foreign steel was being sold for a far lower price than what U.S. steel could sell it for. If you want a good project, you have to be aware of and utilize the qualities of truth. You need to be honest in everyone that's involved. If you're not honest with everyone involved, there's going to be problems. You have to be utilizing your spiritual senses to identify everything properly. Material senses are fallible. One has to be alive. You cannot get anything done if you're going to be passive. You have to be active. Love represents nurturing, like a mother. If you're going to build a building, you have to be nurturing everything, every step of the way, to bring it to fruition. All of this centers on seeing things properly. And you can only see things properly if you are pure, which is a quality of spirit, which is the opposite of matter, if you're pure in the way you're conducting your affairs, pure in the way you're looking at things, pure in your calculations, pure in your design. It has to be a proper design for the purpose. How about if you're a homemaker? Suppose you have a family with children, a spouse. You have relationships with other organizations that are connected with your children, such as the parent-teacher association, where you'll probably have a meeting with the teacher. Maybe you want to be involved in the school activities so that you can put in your input into the Board of Education. Or you may want to even be on the Board of Education. If you're preparing a meal for the family, it has a principle. If you want something to be hot, you don't keep it in the refrigerator. You can't cook it and then freeze it. It has to be at a proper temperature in order to be providing the flavor that is best when it's eaten. Different things take different amount of time to prepare and cook. How about driving a car? Do we see the proper principles to be followed in driving a car? Seeing is an important function no matter what we're doing. And the more we look for perfection and strive to bring things to fulfillment based on a high standard, not the standard of someone else. Don't think about competing with someone else. Think about comparing what you're doing with a perfect standard. There was a coach of a girls' running team, and she taught them to run around the track and develop the feel for how fast they were running. If they ran it too fast, she had them run it over. This is in practice. If they ran it too slow, they had to do it again. They had to do it until they were right in the range that she gave them as their goal. And she did not permit them to look behind or to the side, only directly in front of where they were running. And they couldn't pay any attention to anyone else in the race because they were running their race. They weren't running the race of another individual that was on the track. All they had to do was to pay absolute, unequivocally concentrated attention on what they were supposed to be doing. And it was a very simple formula. They started out and ran the same pace throughout the whole race. Not slow and then building up, or not fast and then tapering off because they were tired. Never looking at another runner, so there was no competition as far as the coach was concerned. That's what we need to do with everything in our life. We can't be concerned with competition or opposition. We need to be concerned with perfection. Now, we obviously have to solve any problem with opposition, because that's exactly what evil is. Evil makes the suggestion that it can control anyone that is trying to be successful at any endeavor. I'm sure that you have been exposed to problems in some of the things that you have done. That's what evil thrives on, creating problems for anyone that wants to be following the truth. But we want to heal instantaneously. We want to heal our thought from being a failure. In other words, we do not want to be distracted when a diversion presents itself. We want to realize that nothing can stop the progress of divine love. We need to be thinking about what Shakespeare says on a continuous basis, because our experience is a reflection of what thoughts we entertain in our consciousness. And if we want to be free of the limitations that are going to be put onto anything we are involved in based on matter and materialism, then we cannot demonstrate truth. Because truth lets us be set free if we pursue truth, if we live truth, the truth about everything, the truth about the principle of what we're doing. What's the principle of love? The principle of love is to dish it out all the time. Frederick Rawson, one of the greatest geniuses of Christian Science, he said our goal should be to make other people happy. He said that was our purpose for being here on planet Earth. We should strive continuously to see if there's a way we can help someone. Now, we can't be like the Boy Scout. The Scoutmaster said, when you come back to the next Scout meeting, I want you to tell me three ways you helped other people. And this one Boy Scout at the next meeting said, or I guess he asked him, what did you do? Three times this past week. He said, I helped an elderly lady across the street. He said, okay, that's one. How about the other two? He said, no, I helped her three times. Well, why is that? She didn't want to go. He had to make sure he helped somebody three times, so he was going to force them to go across the street and let him help them, and they didn't want to go. We have to make sure that when we're helping someone, that they want to be helped, that we're helping them do what they are having a difficult time doing, and maybe we can be of assistance. Maybe we need to give them some money. Maybe we need to buy something for them. Maybe we need to help them decide how to do something themselves. Teach them how to fish instead of just give them a fish. We have the ability through reflecting mind, because mind is the quality of God that is assigned the feature of creative ability. We may need to be using our creative ability to help someone solve their problem. I know of a fellow that was a handyman, and he was really creative. I mean, the average person would go out and buy something new. Not him. He would fix it. He would take it on as a challenge to fix it. Be very creative. What is the solution if we seem to be absent of something that we need? It could be anything. Food, shelter, clothing, textbooks for school. If you're attending school where you have to buy your own textbooks. The solution, if you lack something, is to be giving. You cannot lack if you have a heart of giving. There is a law about giving. You cannot give without getting a benefit. Unless you're not really giving. If you're giving to get something, then that's not giving. That's deceiving someone. You can only gain if you give from your heart. If you're giving from greed, you're not giving. You're taking. You're being dishonest. So if you're trying to solve a problem, you have to be honest. If you're going to be giving, you have to really give with your heart. Don't ever think about what you might get back. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one even thanked him. Did that mean he stopped healing? Hardly. We have to be wise. We have to be intelligent. We don't just throw money away because we want to give, because we want to do our duty. It says in the Bible we're supposed to tithe. That's a tenth part, which means 10%. That's an average. Are you an average person? Were you a C student in school? Well, then 10% is right up your alley. If you want to be better than average, you have to give more. If you want to excel, you have to give mucho. I would guess 30% of what you earn would be considered mucho. We have a number of prayer treatments on the website that makes it very clear that you will not be successful in healing unless you have a heart of giving. You have to give to yourself. You have to give the amount of time out of the 1,440 minutes a day to studying Christian Science, to improve your spiritual understanding of God and man and the relationship, in order to get anywhere. One of the most important things that needs to be understood is that if there is a problem about anything in any direction, the only way to solve it is to address your own consciousness, gain enough understanding about Christian Science to be seriously involved in pursuing the study of it and to practice what you learn by living it. We have specific instructions on how you can learn to heal anything. But it requires a genius. What I mean by that? You have to make a convincing conviction to yourself. You have to follow a plan that will assure success, and you have to reject all diversions and pursue it like your life depended on it. Because it does. You will be able to experience an entirely new dimension. Not being dependent on anyone for your well-being, except your own dedication to continuously improve your spiritual understanding. As a part of that, you need to appreciate the value of living a life of giving in every direction. Continuously search for how you can help other people that are in need. Be grateful for everything. I'm grateful for everyone that I've learned from. Characters in the Old Testament, the New Testament, particularly Christ Jesus, the greatest man that ever walked on planet Earth, who earned the title of the Son of God, Mary Baker Eddy, who earned the title of the Daughter of God, for all the wonderful geniuses of Christian Science, such as Frederick L. Rawson, who told us that our purpose on this earth is to make other people happy. He discovered how to treat back in time, so the healing was effective at a previous date, and all memory of the problem would have been erased. It's like it never happened. Also, he wrote the book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, wherein he lists 1,315 different ailments and exactly how to solve them through Christian Science. Wentworth Winslow raised a boy from the dead. He wrote 4 books with the word God in each title. It's a compilation of, I believe it's 126 articles. Each one is no more than 3 or 4 pages. Most of them are around 1 to 1.5 pages. We have other ones. Robert C. Putnam, wonderful Bible scholar. His teacher was Bliss Knapp, one of the greatest Christian Scientists. He passed on in 1958. His estate was worth $400 million, which today would be worth about $327 billion. Or maybe it's $237 billion. Anyway, he would be one of the wealthiest men in the world. And he didn't spend any time investing or managing his investments. It was all through demonstration via Christian Science. He invested in things he did not have to manage. He bought it and kept them for his whole adult life. As it says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He devoted his life to learning and teaching Christian Science. Einstein contributed wonderful things. If you click on featured topics and authors, you will have links to some very valuable resources. It'll teach you how to heal anything. It'll teach you how Christian Science heals and how Jesus healed. I will close by reciting the diapason of heaven for the synonymous term of God, Spirit. We must declare often that Spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one Spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is Spirit, individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen.